We omit verse 2 of our opening hymn, which is hymn 330, God is here as we his people.
The Lord be with you.
And
if you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service this morning of morning prayer after quite a weekend. So thank you to everybody for all their help. We've been clearing some debris over the last few days, and thank you to everybody who has been helping with that. I just wanted to mention a few notices for the week that is to come. Hopefully you'll have seen the notices on your way into church. Most of our regular weekly activities are happening this week, but I wanted in particular to mention one or two things. And in particular, I wanted to mention on Thursday morning between 10:30 and 1:00, there's a community health fair taking place in the church hall where various organizations are making people aware of what they can do to help people with various situations that might be going on in their lives. It's targeted particularly in the whole area of mental health, but there are other organizations who are taking part in the health fair as well. It runs throughout the morning. You can just drop in for a little while, and there's a cup of tea and coffee going to be served as well. But if you'd like to come, or if you'd like to invite a friend or neighbor that you think might appreciate all that's on offer, please do come along on Thursday morning between 10:30 and 1:00. On Thursday afternoon at 3:00, the funeral service of Mrs. Ray McIntyre takes place here in church. And on Friday morning at 11:30, the funeral service of Mrs. Carol Veitch takes place here in church. At the back of the church this morning, the church magazine is available for collection. And next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9:00. The Connect service in the church hall is at 11:00. And next Sunday evening at 7:00, the service of Holy Communion. Today, our service is the service of morning prayer. You'll find all the responses on the screen. If you prefer to follow in the Book of Common Prayer, the service begins on page 101. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm for today is a psalm of praise, and we're going to say together Psalm 19, which you'll find on page 611, and it'll also be on the screen. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. One day pours out its song to another, and one night unfolds knowledge to another. They have neither speech nor language, and their voices are not heard. Yet their sound has gone out into all lands, and their words to the ends of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, that comes forth as a bridegroom out of his chamber, and rejoices as a champion to run his course. It goes forth from the end of the heavens and runs to the very end again, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right and rejoice the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey dripping from the honeycomb. By them also is your servant taught, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can tell how often they offend? O, cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep your servant also from presumptuous sins, lest they get dominion over me. So shall I be undefiled and innocent of great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And if you'd like to be seated, Rosemary is going to bring our first reading.
A reading from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord.
During the singing of our next hymn, the children will be leaving us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing together hymn 325, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. Just as one body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to join together now to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today, the third Sunday after Epiphany. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn is a prayer as we pray for God to open our hearts to receive his word. As we sing together from Thanks and Praise, hymn 134, Speak, O Lord.
God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to obey it with courage. For Christ's sake, amen. I recently came across an online article that listed some fascinating facts about the human body. For example, if you are an adult of average weight, in 24 hours, you move 750 muscles. You breathe 23,000 times. Your heart beats 104,000 times. You exercise 7 million brain cells. Your blood travels 168 million miles, and that's in 24 hours. The human body is indeed amazing. Yet having said that, we can be very critical of our own bodies. We think of ourselves as too fat, too thin, too short, too tall. Our hair is too curly, too straight, or there's not enough of it, and so on. However, in spite of our criticisms of what our own bodies are like, there can be no doubt that the human body is amazing. It is complex, with all of its various parts and internal organs, yet it is unified with unparalleled harmony and interrelatedness. It's a unit. The many and differing parts work together as we do simple everyday things. The Apostle Paul was fully aware of the wonderful way God has made the human body. And he talks about this in his first letter to the Corinthians, which Rosemary read earlier. But he isn't interested in giving his readers a physiology or anatomy lesson. His chief interest is in the way the Holy Spirit has brought so many different people into the one church. Just as each part of the body is unique and different from any other, yet work together as one body, likewise the church is made up of so many unique and different people, yet is like a single body. Paul says the body of Christ has many different parts, just as any other body does. Some of us are Jews and others are Gentiles. Some of us are slaves and others are free. But God's Spirit baptized each of us and made us part of the body of Christ. Paul is indeed right when he points out that the church is a strange mixture of all kinds of people. Just take a look at the people here in our church this morning. Everyone is different. There are different personalities, different ages, different backgrounds, jobs, hobbies, different levels of spiritual maturity, and all the other things that mark one person different to the other. You won't find too many other organizations that gather every week with such a mixture of people. How do we all fit together? How did so many different people get to be part of the one church? This question becomes even more puzzling when you think of the church as not just the group of people who meet here every Sunday or members of the Church of Ireland, but people from every Christian denomination from all parts of the world. When Paul talks about the body of Christ referring to the church, he means not only the narrower meaning of the word church, in other words, the local congregation, but also the wider meaning that includes all Christians. And when we think of this wider meaning, then we are really faced with a lot of differences. How do we all fit together? Paul was writing to the Corinthians. Now, if there ever was a group of people who found it difficult to get on, it was the church in Corinth. There were many kinds of disagreements, some thinking they were better than the others, some feeling as if they had no place in the congregation, much like any congregation, really. There are those whose leadership is resented, those who always seem to end up doing everything, others who feel put down and inadequate when it comes to doing anything in the church. There are those who feel no one talks to them, others who are upset over what someone else has said or done, others who want change, and others who resent it. Paul was writing to a congregation much like this congregation or any other congregation. And because of the upsets caused by the differences in people, Paul writes to the Corinthians and he writes to us describing the togetherness that is characteristic of the church. He tells us that the church is like the human body. Even though the body is made up of different and diverse organs, it all functions together as one body. When we were baptized, the Holy Spirit made us part of the church. Someone pointed out that we are not just members of the church, but we are membranes. Trying to get across the idea that all of us are connected through Christ. Paul points out that God put the body together in such a way that one part looks after another, and that the whole body is affected when one part is hurt. During the 1976 Special Olympics in Seattle, and this is a true story, 9 young contestants, all physically or mentally disabled, assembled at the starting line for the 100-yard race. At the sound of the starting pistol, they all set off with the desire to run the race to the finish and win. All that is except one boy who stumbled. He tumbled over a couple of times and he began to cry. The other 8 heard the boy cry. They slowed down and paused. Then they all turned around and went back, every one of them. They helped the boy up, and then all 9 of them linked arms and walked together to the finish line. Everyone in the stadium stood. The cheering went on for 10 solid minutes. That's precisely what Paul is getting at. When one is hurt, we all look after them. We encourage them. We support them. We give them what is needed. And whether we're talking about someone who is going through a crisis, or who has been bereaved, or who is hurting because of what others have done, or a person who just needs to feel they are loved, the pain of these people affects us all as membranes together in the body of Christ. We are called, if you like, to link arms and walk together, just as those disabled athletes helped and encouraged one another. Sometimes, though, we forget who we are. Sometimes we behave like individuals and forget that together we are part of the body of Christ, and that in our own way, all of us have something valuable to contribute to the life of the church. You know, I believe with all my heart that this is a great church. It is not a great social club. It is not a great place of entertainment. It is a church. And it is a great one because together we are the body of Christ. Yes, there is always plenty of room for making the togetherness that we share more of a reality in the way we work together and care for one another. That's the challenge God presents to each of us. But let's remember that by the power of the Holy Spirit, together we are the body of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come together this morning reminded again of your call to be one people, the body of Christ. We thank you for the richness of your family, especially in this place. for the characters and temperaments within it, and the different ways in which knowing and loving you is expressed. Teach us to celebrate that diversity and help us to learn from each other. So may our faith grow and deepen as we continue our pilgrimage together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, for those in every country who work tirelessly to bring a new unity and understanding between divided peoples. And today we give thanks for the safe return of another 4 Israeli hostages. We pray too for our own province and other parts of the UK and Ireland in the aftermath of Storm Éowyn, for the 2 families who have been bereaved, for those whose homes and businesses have been damaged. We pray for those who are now involved in the cleanup operations and for electricity and water engineers working to restore power and water supplies. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Father, we pray for all in need, all who are anyway troubled at this time, and especially those known to us. Give relief to those in pain, friendship to those who are alone, and reassurance to those in distress of mind. We pray too that you would comfort those who mourn, remembering in particular the families of Carol Veitch and Ray McIntyre, whose funerals will take place this week. May our love be so strong that seeing need, we may never pass by on the other side. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in a quiet moment, we bring before you others known to us who are on our hearts as we come to church this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As we've been thinking about the church this morning and its interconnectedness and how important it is to work together in all that we seek to do, our next hymn, the hymn of our offering, sings of the church's foundation. And we sing together hymn 528, the church's one foundation.
Thank you.
Let us pray. As we go out into the world in this coming week, we pray for God's light to make us one and to be the people that he would want us to be. May Christ the Son be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Don't forget, after our service, everybody is invited to some tea and coffee over in the church hall. If you're free to stay, you'd be really welcome. And we're going to sing together our closing hymn, hymn 529, Thy Hand, O God, Has Guided. In peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.